And now, before the next program, here is a warning to shipping.
Look out, shipping!
And now, before the next program, we still have 15 seconds left, so that's just time to pay you three new LPs. The Wit of Jimmy Young, the complete Tony Blackburn gag book, and 16 hilarious cricketing stories read by members of the MCC. Including Ian Smith, Spyro Agnew, and Adolf Hitler. All these are now available on 2-inch short playing records, guaranteed to make your party go with a poof. And now, before the next program, which is the 10 o'clock music, here is some light orchestral news. The Prime Minister said today in Parliament...
All right, already, put your hands up.
Oh, that's up there.
Nobody move. This is a hijack.
Hi, Jack.
Hello, Fred.
All right, cut the jokes.
Don't worry, they will.
And keep your hands above your waist. I don't want any of that, Brooke Taylor. Right now. Take this studio to Cuba.
What?
We're claiming the station on behalf of the Radio Prune People's Democratic Full Popular Frontal Radio. Nobody will get hurt as long as Broadcasting House touches down at Havana Airport by tea time already.
Don't look so worried. I'm only joking.
Yes, well, in case you hadn't already guessed, those wacky, zany, cookie, fun-loving lads and a lass are back again with another session of mild undergraduate humor. Yes, folks, it's I'm sorry, I'll...
No. Stop it. Hold everything.
I said not that.
What do you think you're doing?
This is the Director General of the BBC Radio speaking.
This is the Director General of BBC Radio speaking.
Told you so.
Now, you just can't come sneaking back on my radio station like that. Where have you all been for the past year? Come on, where have you been?
Television.
Television? What television?
Well, sir, it's a sort of radio with pictures, sir.
Rubbish. It'll never catch on.
We've been doing the goodies, sir.
And Monty Python's flying circus.
And the wives of Henry VIII.
What?
Never heard of them. They sound silly. Silly! All right, come on, confess. You've been earning money, haven't you? Haven't you, yeah?
Yes, sir.
I thought so. Aren't you ashamed of yourselves?
Yes, sir, we're ashamed.
Well, don't you come crawling back to me. I've said it before. People who want to earn money have no place on BBC Radio. There were once some chaps who did a program called The Goon Show, you know. They started wanting to earn money, and they've never worked for radio since.
But we only want to do one little show.
No, you'll never work for radio again. Never. What do you say to that? Right, shut up. All right. There will now be a repeat of Mrs. Dale's diary.
No. Not that. Please, kind sir, let us do just one little show for old time's sake.
This is it. We promised not to mention Tony Blackburn.
Who?
Tony Blackburn.
No, you promised not to mention him.
Sorry.
We'll take a cut in salary. We'll work for £5 less. £5 less? That means you'll all pay me £2 then.
Yes, anything. Just let us do our humble little show.
Well, can you remember how to make a radio audience laugh?
Yes, I'm sure we can do it.
All right. You can do the show if you can make them laugh in 5 seconds. Starting from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Knickers!
No. No, that's no good. It's got to be clean.
Clean knickers!
All right. Fair enough. You can do it.
Hey! Okay, here we go, chaps. Play the signature tune.
At last, after all these years, the strain of the Angus Prune tune proves too much for Dave Lee and the boys.
Boys, yeah.
As Simrock Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Ken, and Bilotti bring you a little seasonal cheer.
Hooray!
In a special New Year edition of...
It's I'm sorry, I'll read that again. Again!
Ladies and gentlemen, unless you have a better name for yourself.
Oh, yeah.
For the first and only time, we bring you 45 minutes of 1971 style full frontal radio.
Full frontal radio. Everybody should tune into it. Full frontal radio. Coming on radio. prune, let's do it! Take off your coat, what it's all about. Take off your pants, let it all hang out. Paul Frontal Radio, coming on Radio Prune. Well, folks, in 1970 we went full frontal. Now in 1971, Radio Prune brings you Full Frontal Radio in drag, featuring the news in briefs, lift up your skirts, and a new panel game, many a gym slip, compared by Nicholas Parsons and more of the biggest drags in show business. It's all here on Full Frontal Radio in drag.
Coming on Radio Prune.
As we stand here on the threshold of 1971, let us turn round and see what is behind us. Don't do that.
The team of I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again have been at it for 7 years now. And they've been doing the program for a long time.
Through 7 years and 9 series, we have sweated and toiled to write and perform over 50 hours of material. And always we have striven to make it ever fresh, subtle, and sophisticated. And yet, even now, people stop us in the street and say, when's Spot coming back? Or even, do your grimbling voice. It makes you sick. You rabble don't care about the clever stuff. All you want are these inane catchphrases. Right, you can have them. Here they come. A whole putrid lot.
Thank you, John Cleese. In 1965, we brought you...
Ferrets.
In 1966...
How did you do, honey?
1967...
Four? In 1968...
Gibbons. In 1970.
OBE.
Right, that's that lot done with. It's like feeding time at the zoo.
Now, did any of you spot...
What?
Shut up. Did any of you notice the deliberate omission?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Tim Brooke Taylor speaking. Tim Brooke Taylor, I'm the one who does Lady...
That was the clue. She may be on later if he pays up. We are now going to relive one of the highlights of 1970. So over to the Royal Albert Hall, where the Miss World contest is nearing its final stooges.
Welcome to the Royal Albert Hall, where the audience are getting really excited. It's certainly going to be difficult to decide between these many girls. They all look exactly the same. Many people called the Miss World contest a cattle show.
It's a cattle show!
Is it a cattle show? Well, judge for yourselves as the lovelies are led out onto the stage.
Go on, giddy up there now. Get along there. Up on that stage. This way you dozy animals.
Don't you do that in the orchestra pit, my dear. Now, keep it going. You won't get no hay.
Moo!
Don't answer back either.
Now the contestants are led back into their stalls for a well-earned rub-down and a bucket of water. We'll be seeing some of them again soon when the judges have decided whom to call back for the final six. And what a difficult job the judges are going to have. There certainly weren't six I'd like to see again.
In a few moments, we'll have Bob Hope to entertain you. But at the moment, the giant cranes are having some difficulty lowering his cue cards from the ceiling. We're also looking forward to an impressive display of old time demonstrating from the Women's Liberation Formation protesting team.
But for the moment, let's see how the judging is getting on. Many people say Miss World is a fix.
It's a fix!
Is it a fix? I'd say no. But if you slip me £5, I'd say yes. Anyway, without further ado, let's meet the carefully rigged...
Ooh!
Selected panel of utterly impartial international judges. There are 8 in all, and so as not to prejudice the judging, they do not reveal which country they come from. Let's meet them.
Judge number one.
Good evening. Long live Heligoland.
Number two.
Hello. Long live Heligoland.
Number three.
How do you do? Long live Heligoland.
Number four.
Long live Heligoland.
Five, six, seven,
long
and eight.
Long live Heligoland.
Heligoland. Well, those are the judges. They are, in fact, the Prime Minister of Heligoland and his cabinet. They are. They very generously stepped in at short notice since Katie Boyle, Peter Dimmock, and the rest are unfortunately tied up in the Heligoland embassy.
Anyway, if we creep behind the scenes to see how the judging is getting on, we'll find that they are very rapidly choosing the contestants for the final round and putting the others out of their misery. Well, it's kinder to them, really.
And now we gather the judges have decided on the final six, and they are...
Number two.
Miss South Heligoland.
Number six.
Miss Heligoland South.
Number 12.
Miss North Heligoland.
Number 24.
Miss East Heligoland.
Number 32.
Miss West Heligoland.
Number 57.
Miss all the other bits of Heligoland.
Well, this means that the whole of the female population of Heligoland has reached the final stage. Any minute now, we should have the winner, and it is...
Miss World is Miss Heligoland South.
Well, I'm sure everyone here agrees with that decision.
Boo!
Although I suppose we may get a little of the usual controversy, since it is a fact that this year's Miss World is the niece of one of the judges, the daughter of another, married to another, the mother of two of them, and is giving French lessons to the other three.
However, she's really looking starry-eyed as last year's winner comes forward and crowns her. Typical of the spirit of the girls in this contest that Miss England has come forward to Miss Heligoland and put her arms round her neck.
And so, as a fitting climax to this annual cavalcade of beauty, let's take one last look at this sparkling line of lovelies. Yes, here they are, Lionel Bleh and his boys, to sing their tribute to Les Girls.
Come on, lads, are you ready?
Yeah!
John, straighten your tights.
Whoops, oh, damn, I got a ladder.
No, let me climb up it.
Cheeky cat.
Oh. Now, that's enough.
It's not enough.
Now, come on.
Butch voices, right? Right.
Heart face.
One, two, three.
Lay girls.
Just show us the way to...
Lay girls.
Let's do it the way. I'm a red-blooded fella with hair on my chest. I got my hat, got my cane.
And a pink woolly vest.
I'm simply astounded.
Lay girls.
I'm completely surrounded by dimpled cheeks and beautiful curls.
Lay girls. Lay girls.
I'm as butch as the next man.
I'm the next man.
Lay girls.
Oh, that's what they call us.
Lay girls.
The way the gentlemen's chorus.
I love the way they wiggle, love their big blue eyes. I love their loca dresses.
Oh, just my son.
Lay girls.
I want to kiss them quick.
Lay girls.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Diamonds, rubies, and pearls.
And me.
Lego, Lego.
Oh, you'll do a lot of things you never knew you could do. If you'll only let a woman get a hold of you. Boy, she'll make you a man.
Will she make me one too?
Lego, Lego.
Director General here again. We don't want any Nancy Poulter nonsense on the BBC. No, let's have some nice seasonal entertainment. How about some jolly Christmassy songs? Eh? It's not too late for those.
Did you realize that many of the Christmas songs we know today began life as bawdy Yuletide ballads?
Never, never. You're leading to a sketch. Never.
Here are some of the original versions. The offending words, or good bits, have of course been deleted.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny you ever saw it, you would even say all of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him. They never let poor Rudolph join in any game.
for Christmas if me too. Me too. Gee, if I could only have me too, then I could.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your
into 1971. Let us pause to remember the year gone by.
1970?
Correct. Yes. Radio Prune now brings you a retrospect of 1970.
The year began the way we all expected it to, with January.
1970 was a great year for BBC Radio.
It is now estimated that by the end of this year, there will be 437 local radio stations, two or three of which can be picked up by any member of the general public using a code breaker and a 20-foot radar scanner.
The latest local radio station to be opened is on the island of Skerry in the Outer Hebrides and will serve a population of 10,000 seabirds, four seals, and a vole. The three-man team of Radio Skerry are the first people to inhabit the island since it was joined to the mainland in the early Ice Age. But things are really swinging now.
Right, now here's the schedule for this week. I'll be the newsreader, you be the disc jockey, and you be the listener.
1970 was also a great year for sport.
The South African cricket tour was cancelled and cricket fans had their happiest summer for years. They didn't have to watch any boring test matches. Football, and in late spring, England lost the World Cup. Many people said that a lot of bad feeling against England was caused by the way that Sir Alf Ramsey treated reporters' questions. We asked Sir Alf about this.
What's it to do with you? Push off, get stuff. The Argentinians are animals. The press are liars. Nobby's style is beautiful. And I am immortal. 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 Give me a kick, I'm stuck. Immortal. 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 Thank you. Bottle of beer. Bottle of beer. Who's a pretty boy? Bottle of beer. Who's a pretty boy?
Sir Alf Ramsey will soon be retiring and taking up his old job as a speak your weight machine.
Also, late in 1970, we saw the fight of the year in the Rugby League International between England and Australia. We bring you the highlights.
Well, we're having a bit of a barney here. Oh, really? Well, what is this that he jumps on your head from 6 foot in the air? Oh, well, he's torn his leg off. Oh, he's off in mad now. Oh, dear. He'll be penalty kicked for this. Oh, the referee. Take the ball and throw it away so they can get on with the fight. What a good idea.
But above all, perhaps 1970 was a year of change, of a youth and protest, of strikes and dissension, of law and order, of sausage and mash. When young people were on the march, old people were on the defensive, and I was on the dole.
Yes, young people had plenty to say in 1970, but if old age brings wisdom, then I'm a Cherokee Indian. Nevertheless, let's hear the views of the older generation, now appearing on the Rolf Harris Show.
Trouble with school kids today, is they don't know the meaning of the word discipline.
Discipline!
Discipline!
What does that mean?
No idea, but I've seen it advertised. Sounds fun. Anyway, when I was at school, we had to wear gowns and mortarboards.
We had to wear diving boards.
We had to wear gas boards.
Of course, I went to a boarding school. God, I was bored!
I left school at 12, and I was home by 1.
I went to a mixed school.
Mixed school?
Yes, I went to a mixed school. Girls, boys, rabbits, horses, lions,
eaten,
damn near him.
And when I was a... And when I was a little boy at school, I was a fat.
I was a cigar.
I was a dog in.
I was a dog.
I was a hot dog.
Eaten.
Damn near
there. And, of course, when we were at school, we didn't learn any of this protesting nonsense. They taught us the three R's. Silly R's.
Students learn about today is protesting about selling arms to South Africa.
Arms to South Africa.
We sold arms to South Africa.
And legs to Australia.
Elbows to Greece.
And fingers to the lot of them.
Well, all good things must come to an end, but this program's going on and on. Time of year, we like to relax and enjoy ourselves, for this is the season of fun, laughter, and pantomime.
Yes, I'm Sorry I'll Read It Again proudly presents its annual pantomime, and this year we bring you the most lavish and spectacular production of all. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Aladdin.
BBC Looney. Spokesman. Oh, what a giveaway.
Oh, well, push off.
No, now look here. We BBC executives have had a long meeting, and at the end of it, we decided we definitely would have some more coffee. But we also decided to make some sweeping changes. We decided that this year you wouldn't be allowed to do your pantomime.
Well, why not?
Because we say so, and I'm not going to argue with you because I'm a very silly person. So you just carry on with the show, but no pantomime.
Do a pantomime.
That's why you can't do one now. If you keep on doing them, somebody might accidentally hear one and it might make them laugh.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Here at the BBC, we don't like being laughed at.
Want to do a pantomime?
Well, you can't. Do something else.
No, we're going to do a pantomime.
Ah! Well, that's your attitude, is it? All right. All right. The so-called self-styled cleverty curse. If I'm sorry, I'll read that again. If you won't do as you're told, I'll hey, poo!
You can't frighten us.
Poo! All right, carry on, but no panto.
Oh, all right.
You can do something serious for a change. Do one of the Russian classics,
Chekhov.
And you may.
All right. We'll do a Russian classic.
And no panto. Remember, I shall be listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, 20th Century Playhouse presents Dr. Zhivago.
And his wonderful lamp.
What?
Tramp?
Tramp?
Tramp, yes. Dr. Zhivago and his wonderful tramp. And it's not a pantomime. No, nothing like it. No. Dr. Zhivago.
La, la.
Oh, all right. Our story begins in Russia. In a quiet Moscow suburb where the winter snow lies deep in the streets, there is a house.
Surprise, surprise.
And in that house lives Dr. Zhivago. One evening, as he sat pensively staring out at the busy streets, he heard the bells chiming from the distant basilica. The bells seemed to speak to him across the snowy roofs.
Ding dong, the bells ring out. Two dings and one dong. Turn again, Whittington, Lord Mayor of London.
Doing a pantomime again, stop it.
Oh, Dr. Zhivago sat alone. He was in a troubled mood. There was unrest in Russia, and Lara, his faithful sweetheart, had left Moscow. Where was she now, he wondered, and a melancholy passion stirred in his breast. At that moment, in came his two ugly sisters.
Given by Tsar of Russia.
Oh, I'm so beautiful,
feet, bell of four.
Well, you're the right shape. And you go like the clappers.
And I'll beat toasted town.
Yes, you'll be a toasted muffin.
Which isn't very funny, but we're not allowed to say crumpet.
And I shall sit on Tsar's knee, and he'll grant me whatever I wish.
You'll sit on Tsar's knee, and he'll grant you whatever you wish.
Yes! Didn't you know? When you wish upon a
the ugly sisters prepared to go to the ball. But Dr. Zhivago was not going to the ball. He thought only of his beloved Lara.
Ah, me.
He sighed.
Ah, me.
For Lara had joined the ah, me. Zhivago missed her and sighed with a passion that burnt him up.
Oi, cinders!
Yes?
We are off to ball.
Bye-bye, boys and
bye-bye.
But no sooner had the ugly sisters left than a stranger burst into the room.
I'm from the BBC, and I think this is a pantomime.
No. No, it isn't. I'm Dr. Zhivago, and I can't go to the ball.
Oh! Oh, it's not a pantomime. Sorry. Oh, silly mistake.
What a funny man.
No, he wasn't.
Who are you? Who are you, you wrinkled old hag in tattered clothes?
I am your fairy godmother. Fear not, Dr. Zhivago, you shall go to the ball.
I'm sorry, but that does it. This is definitely a pantomime.
No, it's not.
You can't have Dr. Zhivago without the fairy godmother.
Everybody knows that.
Well, I'm not convinced. However, I shall let you go on with it. But if you start doing a panto again, I shall stop you. And I can't say fairer than thump. Sit. Fairer than dim. Farther than pit. Starker. Wink, boggle. Oh, dear, I can't say fairer than that.
What a funny man.
No, he wasn't.
Anyway, you shall go to the ball.
But I'm a doctor. If I go to the ball, who will look after my patients?
Don't worry, I shall take care of that.
So saying, she waved her wand over a pink mouse and...
Incredible, that pink mouse is playing the harp.
But there's more to come.
Really?
This mouse will take care of your patients.
So saying, she waved her wand and the mouse changed into...
Good day, Dr. Zhivago, man. You go to the ball. Enjoy yourself, man.
And so Dr. Zhivago went to the ball, where he enjoyed himself and one or two other people, but then came the moment they'd all been waiting for. The arrival of the Tsar.
My lord! The leader! The ingenuine! Please silence for their highnesses, the Tsar and Tsarina.
Happy as can be. Oh.
Yes, it was Nicholas II, Tsar of all the Russias. Not to be confused with Nicholas Parsons, Tsar of stage, screen, and radio. Nicholas addressed his subjects.
Hello. Have your children joined the project club? Mine have. Justin, Amanda.
Yes, Daddy.
Shut up.
Not that, Nicholas.
Nicholas. Let us meet some of our subjects.
My wife, the Tsarina, and I... would like to meet some of my subjects. Chamberlain, announce all those guests who have funny names.
Mr. and Mrs. Opal and their son, Constantine Opal... his friend, Serge Suit. Mr. and Mrs.
down the Strand. And their daughter, Litz Olga, down. Mr. and Mrs. Peace, Part 2. And their son, Warren. Tarzan and their son Eugene. Me Tarzan. Mr. and Mrs. Awful feeling this one won't get a laugh. And their son Ivan Awful. And I was right.
Well, if that's all the people with funny names, let's get over the ball.
Wait! There is one famous Russian character you have yet to meet.
Really? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who is that small fish sitting on a cushion?
That's him, the tiddler on the book. Oh! And what's more, I think he's going to sing.
Ah, good. Tiddler?
Yes, Your Highness.
Will you sing if I were a rich man?
I would, Your Highness, but I'm afraid I can't remember all the words.
Well, then sing the words you can remember.
Very well. If I were a rich man. All day long I... If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. If I were a very, very rich idol.
But while the Tsar and his courtiers were celebrating, the people of Russia were growing restless. In the streets of Moscow, crowds of peasants gathered, and in one street, a man called Lenin climbed a lamp post to address the crowd.
I'm Lenin on the lamp post at the corner.
But meanwhile, back at the ball, a messenger brought news that the peasants were revolting.
Your Highness, the peasants are revolting.
The Tsar was slow to see the implications of his words.
Peasants? Revolt. Revolting. The peasants.
Certainly wasn't funny.
What am I to do? I must seek advice. Where is the Prime Minister of all Russia, Chief Parliamentary Executive, Premier, and Head of State? Buttons?
Yes, sir?
Ah, Buttons.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know they weren't on.
What shall I do?
Fly, Your Majesty.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't
know. We've done that one.
I must escape, but how? Who will help me?
At that moment, a great gasp escaped from the crowd.
Come back, you great gasp!
They had seen an omen, for the doors burst open and an old boar dashed into the room.
I am Kossoff, teller of tales already. And I can help you, for I have magical powers. I can send people to sleep for 1,000,000 years.
Ha ha ha!
1 million years later.
Oh, pardon?
I have traveled far and wide to distant lands, and I have picked up many things on my travels, but I'm better now.
How can you want me to escape?
I have here a magic lamp. Who will buy this ancient lamp?
A magic lamp. It must be a pandaman.
No, not a lamp. It's a magic tramp.
That's right. I am a magic tramp and not a lamp.
Oh, well, that's all right then. Sorry.
This magic tramp will give its owner magical powers.
I see. Then I shall buy it to help the Tsar. Here, will you exchange it for this old cow and a bag of beans?
Certainly.
So saying, Kossoff turned and left the ballroom, never to be seen again, with any luck. And so Dr. Zhivago bought the magic tramp.
You nearly said lamp.
Well, yes.
Do you know what I think? I think that this is a pantomime disguised as Dr. Zhivago. So I'm going to switch on my BBC pantomime detector.
What does that do?
It sounds a warning if there is a pantomime imminent. Listen. Cinderella. There. Now, I'll know if you're really trying to do a panto or not. Right, carry on. The audience is getting bored.
Oh, all right. So, Dr. Zhivago rubbed his wonderful tramp.
Oh, stop it.
He rubbed and he rubbed.
Get off!
And then something strange happened.
I thumped him.
No. The room went suddenly dark.
Oh, dear. I'd better light the tramp.
Don't you dare, mate.
Oh, I wonder if we're going to see the genie of the lamp. No, not the lamp. The genie of the tramp. Yeah, you know, I always imagined the genie to be a dusky, oriental maiden with slanting eyes and a slightly tanned bosom.
Ah! You don't mean...
Yes. I dream of a genie with a light brown pair. Look, the genie.
Hello, sailor.
Genie, please help the Tsar to escape from Russia.
Do it again.
All right. Oh, Genie, please help the Tsar to escape from Russia.
Right. By a lucky chance, I have here two enormous pies.
Oh, I thought they were...
No! They're pies.
Ah.
I got them from Simple Simon. Not from Simple, but from Simple... Rolf. Let us put the Tsar into one of these pies and smuggle him out of Russia. But I shall need the assistance of my friend Jack.
Where is he?
That's Jack over there, talking to that bag of beans. He's always doing that.
Talking to a bag of beans?
Yes. Surely you know Jack and the beans talk.
Pantomime, you see, it's a pantomime. It's a pantomime!
Oh, shut up.
All right.
And so Dr. Zhivago concealed the Tsar in one of the huge pies and tried to smuggle him over the frontier. But they were stopped by a guard.
Hey there, you with the Tsar in your pie.
That was a full-frontal drag edition of I'm Sorry, I'll Read It Again. The voices you heard appeared by kind permission of Tim Brooke Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Kendall, and Bill Oddie. The script was by Graham Garden and Bill Oddie. The music was played by Dave Lee and his Walthamstow Young Conservative Syncopators, written by Bill Oddie and arranged by Leon Cohen. The show was produced by David Hatch and Edward Taylor and was based on an idea by Edgar Allan Poe. Very bad idea. And so, until we meet again, here is the voice of them all to say...
Hang on a minute.
I beg your pardon?
You don't get away with it as easily as that.
What do you mean?
I have evidence that you are guilty of committing a particularly unpleasant pantomime. You must be punished. All right, men?
Who are these men eating celery?
These are the BBC Pantomime Disposal Unit. A stalwart body of men dedicated to the highest principles of the BBC, the total extermination of entertainment as we know it on this planet. Right, ma'am?
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right, men, carry on. You know what to do.
No, we don't.
Oh, posh. Well, first of all, we paralyze their minds by subjecting them to hideous, ear-piercing, high-frequency noises.
Oh, no, no, not that. Not
switch
that.
It on.
Hello, darling.
Hello, darling. Where are the children?
What children?
Our children, darling. Where are they, darling?
Oh, they've gone away, darling. Honestly, darling. And they're not hiding in the garage. They didn't set fire to the bedroom. And if they did, I'm sure they didn't mean to. And anyway, darling, the house didn't really blow up, darling. I'm not ready to leave the garage.
Show it, me ears.
All right, phase two. Bore them to till.
This is William Hardcastle with the world at my feet. Earlier today, the Prime Minister announced from 10 Downing Street that the prices of dromedaries would go up by 3/7 inch in the new year. The National Union of Underwater Non-Salesmen has threatened to strike. Talks are being held in Paris by the United States.
I'm so bored.
And finally, insult their intelligence.
Hello, this is J.Y. Here to treat the...
All right. Two can play that game. We shall fight back. Bring out our ultimate weapon.
Oh, no, you wouldn't. No, please, anything but that.
Here it comes.
No, it's so awful even to look at it. It's hideous. It's horrible. It's monstrous.
It's not. It's me. This was the tasteless generation.
Oh, it's revolting.
No need to go on. We got the laugh.
Lady Constance, please spare me.
Come to me, you gorgeous hunk of masculinity.
Leave me alone. I'm nothing special. I'm just a man.
Yes, and only just. But I don't care. We were made for each other.
And very badly made.
Pipe down, shorty.
Wait a minute, Lady Constance. Pantomime, it's all falling into place.
Yes, so it is.
You're a pantomime, Dave. You're a man dressed up as a woman.
No, I'm not.
Two men dressed up as a woman?
Yes. What a lovely idea. Softbox, but I forgive you.
Now, hang on.
No, thank you. With you, I could really swing.
You're already swinging.
Yes, I am. Anyway, I don't care. You can say what you like.
Thank you. I like curried aardvarks. Sweet and sour Shetland pony.
Ah, I could cuddle you when you're angry.
I'm not angry.
Wait till I cuddle you.
Right, now I'm angry. I've had enough. I shall continue with your punishment. Bring on the petticoat line.
Wait. This is no way to behave. Can't you just forgive and forget? This is the time for us all to make a fresh start. We should put aside the petty squabbles of the past and step out together bravely to face the future. We should all be friends.
She's right.
Don't send us away.
No, don't.
I won't.
Let us go on. We never did anyone any harm. Please, let us go on.
Yes, do.
I will.
Forgive us.
No!
Oh. So it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
But who knows? Perhaps one day.
We'll meet again. I don't know where.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'll read that again.
My boss and I have a good love, cause it's a cutie named Dog.